Good morning and welcome to the Project Yard Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here is our assignment from yesterday. One of the saddest lessons of history is this. If we've been bamboozled, if we've been bamboozled long enough, we tend to reject any evidence of the bamboozle. Don't we all know the truth of that from personal experience? Misconception after false assumption, after unexamined belief, after once we've seen it, patently absurd idea is revealed for what it is. And while temporarily stunned, we go right on believing all the rest of the nonsense rolling around in conditioned mind as thoroughly better truth. This is perhaps the greatest argument for becoming a devoted servant of the wisdom of I don't know. Today, let's remember to smile as we remind ourselves moment by moment that I don't know. Record and listen. All right, let's hear from our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, good morning. It's Todd.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, good morning, Todd.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. I'm still reeling from the exercise that the entire universe is me and I'm the universe.
That is a bit hard to take in, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm still taking that one in. But I did see some things about if the bamboozle goes on long enough, we don't recognize or acknowledge any of the factors of the bamboozle. And it just
well,
struck me yesterday. Oh, go ahead.
And if I may, they go nicely together, don't they?
They do.
Because there is, you know, scientific evidence for for what conditioned minds do with that, that babies do not experience themselves as separate.
Ah, yeah.
So we actually, if we want to accept that as a notion, and if we want to have our own experience of it when we're not in conditioned mind, that we are one with the entire universe, and the entire universe is us.
Uh-huh, yeah. You know, it's funny as you said that, it made me see that, and the evidence is always around us. Life is always, seems to me, constantly presenting that evidence that there is no separate self.
Yes, constantly.
Yeah.
And the only thing maintaining the delusion is that incessant conversation and conditioned mind.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it reminded me of the recent peace quote of yours that said, noodling is a barrier to insight or something like that. Noodling figuring out a question, you know, or trying to figure out,
yep.
I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To that,
yeah, exactly. It's what we do instead of being present to what actually is our experience. You know, if we say what actually is, you go, okay, but it's not my experience, but it is our experience we are not lost in conditioned mind. We don't think about it that way. And, of course, then we're required to go into conditioned mind to think about it.
Yeah.
But, in fact, our experience is of non-separation until we think separating thoughts.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and over and over again, I just keep seeing through all the practice opportunities. I just finished a group coaching on the joy of eating.
Mm.
It was a wonderful 4 weeks, just wonderful. I'm going to put it out there as a testimonial that if anyone has the opportunity to join a group coaching experience, it truly is a wonderful opportunity to have a practice focus, have a commitment, have support, have a facilitated calls with Sangha, have a weekly email check-in. It really is a fantastic supportive experience to get here. And my whole relationship with food had changed over that 4 weeks, or just rediscovered some things that conditioning had taken away about the joy of eating and the joy of food prep and the joy of sustaining this being in physical form.
Yeah, taking care of yourself in that way.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. And what I was seeing in all of that too is that what just the thread that goes through all of this is recording and listening. It's just such the tool that gives me that opportunity to get out of that conversation in conditioned mind and to get in the conversation with the mentor and to really experience authenticity. Time and time again, those recordings are invaluable. I record every day. I listen every day. I have been doing it for quite a long time now. And it just seems to me it just keeps coming up as the foundation and the key to getting out of that conversation and not believing the bamboozle.
Yes, absolutely. And it doesn't require the process that conditioning wants us to believe is necessary, which is learning.
Oh, that's a good one.
Right? We don't have to learn anything. And
no.
We see that we're transformed simply by the practice. We turn our attention, we turn our attention, and that's what transforms us, not that we understand something or get something or none of that. So, good.
Great.
Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. And thank you and all of Sangha and all of practice and deeply grateful for all of it. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Todd. Bye bye.
Thank you, Sherry. Bye bye. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Todd. I love that connection between the universe and that experience of ourselves as we are the universe, and that the only thing that separates us is the illusion of itself, because it is separating.
Mm-hmm.
It's a separating thought.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when you say that, the place that I always want to underline it with people, there are two things when I read or hear people talk about in other places in life. One is self-love, which I think is the creepiest combination of words ever. And the other is that I am the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for us to realize what's being said is the universe is this.
Mm-hmm.
the illusion is that there's an I or a me. That's what we're working so hard to let go. The universe is this. This thing that I call me is an expression of the intelligence that animates all. So it's because otherwise ego will take both of those, self-love and make compassion for the self a creepy pursuit, or I'm the universe, and you know what ego is going to want to do with that. So.
That in other words, it's important how we phrase it in order for the ownership, for it not to be owned by the self. Or rather, folded back into that sense of separation.
Which ego is constantly trying to do with everything. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. And hi, Ashwini. This is Justin calling.
Hello, Justin.
Boy, this is so great to be on. So last night we just wrapped up talking about programs. I just wrapped up the recording and listening training, it was a wonderful experience. So I thought celebrating it would be just to call in, and also just in terms of the assignment today, just you know, keeping and so let me tie these together. So part of the recording and listening training has been absolutely phenomenal for me, just in terms of kind of a breakthrough of actually starting to put a lot of these things into practice. And one thing I have been working with has been, and I think we've talked about it on this radio before, which is just the sensations in the body and not believing that they actually mean anything. So, you know, it kind of ties together with today's assignment of, you know, not to believe that conditioning knows, right?
Yes. One of my favorite little practice reminders for myself through the years has been get out of the head, get into the body.
Yes.
Right? And because we get into the body, and if we're not in the head, then there is no meaning for the sensations. We just have a sense of a human being living.
Yes. And I'll tell you, I mean, you know that I've been, working with you for many years, and, on an intellectual level, that's always been, I know that, I, in quotes, know that. But, to get that separation has been so difficult, and the combination with recording and listening training and as an awareness coach, it's finally dawning on me, but the work is just leaving those recordings of keep an eye out, remember to see this, because like sometimes I know, if stressful situations where the body will kick up a lot of sensation. So going into those situations is leaving recordings, or what's worked for me is this constant barrage and reminders of stay with the body, what's the body going to say, what is the body going to feel, and what are the, what are the voices and conditions going to say? Because without that constant reminder, I personally just can't remember to do it.
Yes, that is a powerful reminder for everybody, because what you're describing is how ego gets a lot of traction and keeps it. And that is, we're constantly surprised, right? We're distracted. So it's, as you say, you see something. There's a breakthrough. There's a big awareness. Oh, okay, I get that. And then conditioned mind just goes to work to get us to forget that we know that. And then the next time something happens, I'm in a karmic situation, one that I get really triggered by, and I forgot that I know what's going to happen because it's a program, right? And so it surprises me again, catches me off guard, and then I just go right down the same karmic path again. But what you're saying is once you get that, you realize what's going to happen. Now you're talking to yourself. Okay, now, what happens with the voices is this, and what happens with the body is this. Now you remember, you know that, right? So you can expect that that's going to, it's a whole different world, isn't it?
Night and day. And that's why just so much gratitude for my awareness coach, my Zen awareness coach, and so much gratitude for taking the recording and listening training, because, going at the onset or the outset, I should say, starting it off, conditioning was like, you've been working with this for years. You've got, two or three little recorders that you've used in the past. You use your phone, you know it. Like, why even? But I'll tell you, it's, just that extra, 10% in terms of, using it and just getting over the hump. And now, my headphones don't come out of my ears pretty much, 80% and 90% of the day. But, that just that incremental little bit made the difference between, listening sporadically for, maybe 30, 40 minutes a day to listening, 9, 10, 11, 12 hours a day. And, it's just a massive change in how, my experience of life, how I experience life can change. My experience of life has changed.
Yeah, thank you for that. Again, that's so powerful because what the voices want to say to people is, oh, come on, how can this be awareness practice? You're listening to something all day long. Yeah, and we have two choices. We either listen to the wisdom that life has offered us, or we listen to the suffering nonsense in conditioned mind. We're always listening to something. And so the choice to listen to what is true and so and on your side and working toward your freedom, just to give attention to that all day long, it's a whole new world.
Exactly. Tika Show. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was so powerful, Sherry, that experiential testimonials, both from Todd and from Justin, on how important it is to train the mind to be on, to be here rather than in a conversation. And if we've gotten on to the fact that it's the mental chatter that influences and makes meaning of my experience and therefore takes me from my experience, then what I want to be doing is to be listening to reminders that that is what it does. And therefore, I want to bring my attention back here.
Yeah. Well, and the way you just phrased that, training the mind to be here, training attention to be here, that's what's really going on with this. It's a training program. And so for the, you know, the experts in Zen who might have stumbled upon us passing through, you know, the idea that, well, but don't you want to be present to the silence that is the moment? And yeah, sure you do. But you got to train yourself to be present to it. And at a certain point, yes, perhaps we won't be required to have that kind of constant support to be here. But right now we do. And so the humility to acknowledge that and the willingness to let go of ego's desperate cries in order to train to be here. Yeah.
And I don't know, Sherry, it's perhaps metaphorical. The silence is metaphorical because if I'm here, it's not silent, you know?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear from our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Janice in Vancouver.
Well, hello.
Hi there. Well, this is a wonderful testimonial morning.
I feel another one coming on.
Well, I just have enormous gratitude for not knowing. And to train to come back to dropping the conversation and just being with what's here. So
all the attention, all the attention on awareness, the awareness here.
Yes. All of it. And I found that my process over the last few weeks culminating with handing over the key to the house was a process of, I don't have a clue how I'm going to get all this done. And there was, if I knew that if I spent even a minute thinking about, oh my gosh, how is this going to happen? And now this has gone awry, or this is something and that was left behind. And it was more like a flash that I could see, I don't have time. I have a major deadline, and I don't have time to allow conditioned mind to drag me away to anywhere.
Yes, and that sense that I sense, that you sense, of this is going to unfold perfectly. I can't see how that's going to be. But I know it is, and it's going to be really interesting to see how it happens.
Yes. Yeah, and there, I would say there were huge things, and it was on the, like I said before, that it was like a 4-month retreat, and then this is the calm. This, it felt like some sort of symphony that kind of, you know, it starts out very gentle and lulling, and then this has been the crescendo.
This is the big moment.
Yes, and then, for example, my partner's been away from this because it would have been way too much. So, he's settled in doing the other end of things with some help. And I'm trying to get there, but there's still a lot of wrapping up. And I mean, I feel like, well, just, I don't know, just like waking up and just not getting anxious about it, just saying, yes, this is another day. Yesterday I had a plan, so that was part of the don't know. I had a plan, and I was almost to get on a bus, and I had to catch a little connection, and then the people phoned me and said, stop, don't come, the power's all out. So, you know, when I came back, they just caught me in time, and I just thought, wow, okay, what'll I do now? And I found ways to take care of the other things. You know, there were other things, including this body, to take care of, and it was all okay.
And it was all okay, yeah. And to underline that miracle of they caught you just in time.
Oh yeah.
If you had gone all of that, and it that would have been a workshop too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it didn't go that way. And so then you had this spacious time to take care of these other things and take care of yourself. And, you know, as we watch it happen, of course, I like to do the old cliched, in 100 years, how much of this is anybody going to be worried about?
Mm-hmm.
I just happen to like that perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
That in 100 years, nobody will know that we ever existed, let alone that we had all this, these traumas that we were dealing with on an hourly, or if not a moment by moment basis. So just, you know, to step back and go, okay, this is a workshop for me.
Yeah.
This is for my enlightenment, my awakening. And so let's not get caught up in too many stories about anything else, and just enjoy the workshop as we get each new exercise.
Yeah. And so not putting a label on this is my karma, but this is a karma in this life that I'm actually in the process of. I can see there's transcendence happening within this, and so not only, it was just like this is what here, and it's just like it really does feel like there's a whole team here that I'm helping to do this for me, which helps the ancestors, and there's a whole universe out there. And I found that the help was absolutely, I mean, it came out of the woodwork from places I had no idea of, you know, something that I needed to let go of, but then I had to be available to receive help, and then there was something else to pass on to people who needed something, and it was just, it was just, like I say, a kind of a crescendo. It probably still is, and even when I am in it, it still just feels like another ordinary moment.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And I had an image, because you're moving house, as we say, right? And there's such a process of change and letting go and sorting, and it really is a beautiful physical expression of the process of facing karma, isn't it?
It is.
It's like acting it out. you know, there it is, and so I'm really ready to let that go. That I'm still clinging to. That I don't see how that's gonna still believe in that one, still get caught in that one.
Really
free of that one. And so to and as you say, all the help, which is also true with on both the physical and the mental, emotional, spiritual process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that just being there at my, you know, like making something beautiful for somebody else to take over, because that is what I want to do. That's what I want to do.
Yes.
It's not because
you're taking
other
you're
things.
You're taking care of it for you.
That was it. And in that taking care of it, there had been some money that was going to be withheld if certain things outside hadn't been done. And what I decided, because there was no question when they arrived, they just, the money, they were like, here's this big amount of money, and do you want to count it? And I said, oh, no, I just trust this. That's it. It was just like no question. It would obviously been taken care of. But I looked at that, and I just immediately said, I'd just like to let you know where this money is going, you know, because I'm donating it to a project that I have. Because it's not my money. It's like all the people who have helped me have contributed to this. Mm-hmm. There was just like...
Once again, for all of us.
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah.
That's
yep. Right. Yeah, and walking away, you know, the realtor, you know, I just passed the keys after we closed and we were walking out of this beautiful garden, and he said, you know, this really weird moment. And I was just noticing my steps and thinking, this is just another moment. This isn't, it's nothing special. It's just another moment.
Well, and again, Janice, for all of us, that place of, you know, we give our whole heart, soul, being to something. We love it as much as we can. We take care of it the best we can. And there's going to be a moment when it's time to let it go.
Yeah.
And we may be here to let it go. We may leave and it gets let go. But everything is going to have that moment of transition for us. And and to recognize that, and as you say, it's just another one of those. We walk out the door, we leave a room, we lose a friend, we, you know, whatever it is. And with the garden, it's the seasons. You know, things sprout and they grow and they bloom and they fruit and they, all of those kinds of things, and then they wither and then they return to all of it. Transition, transition, transition.
Yeah, and I think, and there lies the training for me, to, you know, that the Zen training for the last breath.
Yes, and to let go joyfully. Right? That's there's the real kind of training of it, right? Because karmic conditioning, ego wants to come in with loss and regret and memories and clinging, and instead of what now? Here's this moment. I don't want to miss this beautiful moment. Looking backwards, I don't want to do that.
Joyfully.
All right.
Thank
joyfully.
You so much. Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, I had one last thing to say. How they say goodbye in Icelandic is the word bless. They say it's actually B-L-E-S-S. So saying goodbye, they often say goodbye to friends. They say it twice. Bless, bless.
Uh-huh.
Because you were asking about Icelandic, and I thought, oh,
well,
you're going to love that.
I had heard... that the word that means goodbye actually translates into go happy, which I joyfully took up. And if I got that wrong, I'm still gonna I'll just claim it. If it's really not Icelandic, but I like the combination. Bless, bless, go happy.
Well, bless, bless could mean go happy there. It just sounds like bless, bless in English.
All right. Well, I'll Google it later, Janice.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Bless, bless.
Thank you so much. Bless, bless.
Thanks, Janice. Well, that was our Canadian show, Sherry.
Well, thank you, Ashwini. I thought it's just the way my mind works. So yesterday was pretty much Washington State, right? And today we were blessed with Canada. So we got these little themes going here.
All right, that brings us to the end of another wonderful show. And here is our assignment. We cannot see things as they really are,
until we let go the idea of a separate self. The belief, the assumption that we do see things as they really are is what keeps us from seeing that we do not. If we could grasp, even for a moment, that not only are we not seeing everything as it really is, we're not seeing anything as it really is, we would realize the critical nature of presence in each moment. When we turn our lives over to ego, accepting ego's version of reality, we give up a direct experience of life, settling for a vague approximation of what is. Today, each time it occurs to you, setting alarms is not cheating, bring attention to the senses. What are you seeing, smelling, tasting, hearing, feeling? Allow the awareness to expand beyond you and sense the non-separate nature of all that is. Record and listen.
That's nice. One little thing about that, when there's a sense of smell, with that expanded awareness, to realize, again, there's no boundary.
Mm-hmm.
When we're hearing,
mm-hmm.
to just notice there's no boundary. There's no edge to it. It goes
mm-hmm.
to infinity. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Fun day. Thank you so much, okay. Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. Take care.
Thanks, everybody.
Go
treasure
happy,
yourself.
Everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.